May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You know, again, Jesus, we know, eternally is God. But again, he laid down his right to live as God. On the earth, he lived as man. He could have at any moment lived out of his deity, but he chose not to. So he could teach us how to walk in the Spirit. So when he made that statement, when they called him good teacher, he's speaking as the Son of Man. And what he's saying is that just like you, I live under the goodness of God. That's really powerful when you think about what Jesus came to do. It says that Jesus came to reveal the likeness of his Father. No man has seen God at any time. John 1, verse 18, he says, but Jesus has revealed him. And Jesus didn't reveal him by being God. Jesus revealed him by depending on God, by living under the grace of God, by living in the Father and the Father in him, by living under the shadow of the Almighty and living by the favor and power and the authority of God. So Jesus was an example. The life that he lived, he was demonstrating what the Father is really like. And he had demonstrated how the Father was really like by living under the realm of the Father's goodness, displaying to us what mankind can live like under the goodness of God. I shared a scripture yesterday here, and I shared it again today. When I go to Africa, I'm sure I'll come back and talk about it some more because I'm still figuring it out. As I said yesterday, it's one of those verses that just so blows me away that I want to talk about it, but I'm talking about it learning. It's one of those shocking places in Scripture. And this is from Jeremiah 32. So probably the people in CTK are glad I'm going to go to Africa for a couple weeks, or this will be coming out of your ears, poor Edith and Anna, after a few weeks. Jeremiah 32. Verse 40 and 41. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them to do them good. And I will put the fear of me in their hearts so that they may not turn away from me. And then this verse. I'll rejoice over them to do them good. And I will faithfully place them or plant them in this land with all my heart and with all my soul. That's just amazing scripture. That God said, whatever that means, he said, I rejoice over them to do them good. And I, with all my heart, with all my soul, faithfully plant them in this land and rejoice over them to do them good. We mentioned this yesterday. This promise has twofold. The land of Canaan, the fulfillment of all God's promises for a land to the Jewish people is going to come to pass. But for us spiritually, the land that he's promising here is being in Christ. That's our promised land. Being in Christ is the promised land, is our inheritance, being in him. In John 14, Jesus told his disciples, he said, because he had told them he was going to depart from them, he was telling them, you know, don't be afraid, be comforted. He says, I go to prepare a place for you, so that you may be with me. But if you read through those scriptures, he's not talking about heaven. What he's talking about is just like I've been in the Father, and the Father's been in me, I'm going to go prepare a place for you so that you can be in me and I in you. It's a spiritual place. It's in Christ. That's Jesus is our promised land. Jesus is our inheritance. All that we are, all that we need, our identity, our future, our hope, our provisions in Jesus. And so what he says here, this blows me away again. He says that with all my heart, so reverse the way that scripture is written, with all my heart and with all my soul, I'm going to place you in Christ so that I can rejoice in doing good for you. That's amazing. That's amazing. Not again, do good because we're in a contract with each other, but I rejoice with all my heart, with all my soul. I put you here so I can rejoice in doing good over you. So we'll talk about this, I'm sure, over the next couple of days before I go to Africa. But so let's just do this one little thing. One of my favorite scriptures is, I like the way it's written in the King James better, but it's Psalm 138, verse 8. And it says, I will perfect, it says, he will perfect that which concerns me. And he talks about going through trouble, and yet he said, I'm convinced that he will perfect that which concerns me. In other words, regardless of what you're going through, if he's in control of your life, he's doing it just perfect. No matter what you feel or what you see, or what you even understand. He says we're to trust him with all of our heart and lean not on our understanding. Peace that passes understanding. So faith has nothing to do with understanding. I'd like for it to be that way, wouldn't you? Because I'd like to have some control over this thing. But but he's perfecting that which concerns me. And hear the word. It's not like God's in heaven saying, now, I'm going to be good to you. No, God says, I have planted you in my goodness. I've planted you. I've placed you in Christ. Therefore, I've placed you into my goodness. I've put you in a place, in an environment where you live is a place where I can rejoice with my whole heart and soul over being good to you. That's just crazy. Romans chapter 5 talks about this grace in which we're standing. He's placed us in a grace in which we stand. We stand in grace. It doesn't matter where you're at, what you're going through, what's going on around you. You are standing in grace. You have been planted in the goodness of God. So we don't have to question that. I mean, God may give you direction. It may be warfare. It may be you're doing some battle. It may be something going on in your body and you come against it. You just receive healing. But the fact that you found yourself in this battle, God's placed you in the goodness of God. That's something we can rest in. That's what it means. He's brought me to his banqueting table in Christ, and his banner over me is his goodness, is his love. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.